Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you so much to Rufilwe. She'll be back tomorrow at 6. All right, lots coming up on the show. We are going to be celebrating Tito Mboweni as we continue to do that this entire week. And did you know that the BBC's Hard Talk after 30 years is going to come to an end? So we'll be playing you really, really interesting interview that Tito Mboweni actually did on Hard Talk with Stephen Sakho. And we'll have that conversation and we'll play you a little bit of it. I mean, not the entire thing, but a little bit of it just after 8:30. We're going to quickly dip into U.S. politics because there's some movement there. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Yeah, lots that is happening. And I know sometimes we are also just bombarded with our own news of the day. And so we haven't really had time to touch on this. So we'll do that very quickly today. Look, folks, Westbury and the area around West Dean is at the moment, as we speak, is not okay. So there is a protest as we speak. So we're going to ask you to be careful if you're driving around that area. But we'll talk to the residents there and talk to them about what it is that makes them unhappy. We'll also try and get some responses from the city of Johannesburg. So we've been working very hard to get the relevant people. But I think we may sort of get somebody, not necessarily the exact person, but I think there is one brave person that's agreed to talk to us. And of course, it's a Wednesday, so Ntabiseng Dubazana is going to be joining us just after 9 o'clock. Ooh. All right. As you may have heard, Mogale City no longer has a mayor. The African Transformation Movement councillor, Danny Tubane, has resigned as the mayor of Mogale City local municipality. On the line with us is not the mayor. We asked him. He was unfortunately not available at this hour, but we've got the ANC Mogale City Regional Chairperson, William Matsike. Thank you so much for your time, and good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela, and good evening to your listeners.
Mr. Matsike, just I want us to go back a little bit to April 2023, where we saw Dade Tubane go in as the mayor of Mogale City. What has changed since then?
Nothing really has changed. Look, we had a discussion with Councillor Danny Tubane, the former mayor. We had requested to have a meeting with us to indicate that he is considering to resign on the basis that there are quite a number of issues that he will have picked up that are a challenge for the municipality. When we entered into that coalition arrangement with the ATM and other smaller parties represented in council, we then agreed that we are going to make him the executive mayor at the time. And it was important for him to then consult with us as the African National Congress. And we had a very robust discussion with him, and we ultimately agreed that he can resign, like he has tendered his resignation today, which councillors would have accepted.
Who sponsored the motion of no confidence?
The motion of confidence was sponsored by another smaller party that is represented in council, the PAC. It was just before the provincial and national elections. But however, Councillor Danny Tubane did not resign on the basis of the motion. There is a coalition agreement within the ANC, the ATM, and other parties represented in council. And if that motion will have served before council, we will have defended that motion because of the principles that guided our coalition agreement. He will have resigned out of his own accord, and this one will have accepted the resignation.
Okay, let me see if I can follow. You would have defended him if the motion of no confidence had actually proceeded, which is what I believe happened with the speaker as well as the chief whip. And you earlier on said you found that there are other difficulties in the city, you know, some other challenges, and therefore you accept the resignation. Would you still have, you know, defended him even though you actually believe that he should have stepped down?
Yes, like I've indicated, Pimelo, there are principles that guide our coalition partnership with other parties, including the ATM at the time. So mm-hmm. when he raised those issues, we mm-hmm. were aware of those issues, and we were going to convene our coalition partners meeting where we are going to raise them and also propose elements that needs to be attended to make sure that we address those issues. I think mm-hmm. you will have also seen the statement from the presidency with regards to the sewage challenges of Mohali City.
Yep.
Those are a number of issues that you will have raised, which we will have attended to them.
So in your view, I mean, and to be fair, he hasn't been there for too long. I mean, that's a fact. In your view, what is it that could have assisted him deliver better? Because as you said, you know, you've got coalition partners. This was an agreement amongst yourselves with these coalition partners. What support did he not receive to deliver on his mandate?
Look, Dumelo, the former executive mayor will have received support from all coalition partners. When you are executive mayor, it's not all about the support that you will receive from coalition partners.
Mm.
It's a number of issues that you need to consider. Issues of your financial viability as a municipality, your willingness to improve in terms of service delivery, and many other aspects that will make you for people to either conclude whether mm. you are the relevant person for that position mm. or not. But I can assure you, majority of municipalities in the country
mm-hmm.
are faced with serious financial difficulties. Hence, the president of the country would have went to parliament during the opening of the parliament and highlighted that it's important that the national government need to look into alternative funding model for local municipalities. So the problems of Mohali City are not necessarily the problems of the former executive mayor. It's institutional challenges that have been there for some time. They've got nothing to do with the administrative leadership. They've got nothing to do with the political leadership. So it will need a number of interventions so that we are able to attend to most of them. That is why I made reference to the statement of the president in relation to the president having engaged the premier of Gauteng to invoke section 139 in order for the premier to then intervene in terms of the sewer challenges of Mohali City. And it's not only in Mohali City. Generally, in most of the municipalities, you will find that there is a sewer challenge that we need to look into. Hence, the premier of Gauteng will have appointed one of the municipalities within the Western as the implementing agent for the sewer and leaking challenges of Gauteng.
So I'm obviously presuming that you have a candidate that you're going to put forward as the ANC, and you will be, as you've been doing in other metros in Gauteng, be leading Mohali City. That's an agreement anyway that you've all been open about. The question then is, I mean, what's that person going to do different? If you've just explained to me that actually it's got nothing to do with the former mayor, the challenges that are faced by Mohali City, by and large, are faced by many other municipalities, maybe yours to a great extent. What will be different? And therefore, because also you've just mentioned the fact that you would have defended him, I'm struggling to understand. If you would have defended him and the issues are not about him and his competence, then why change him?
Pimero, that's why I want to respond to your latter comment, and that's why you are getting it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We did not request the executive mayor to resign. He resigned on his own voluntary basis. Hence, I will have indicated that we were not planning, we never sponsored as the coalition partners a motion against the executive mayor. Now there's a vacancy within Mohali City.
Can I pause there? Can I ask you just before you continue, so that I can ask you a point of that you've just made? Did he tell you why he wanted to resign?
I've highlighted that he raised a number of issues that after a fairer discussion, I mean, with him,
mm-hmm.
we then accepted that we accept this resignation. And I wanted to respond to what would have raised. Indeed, the African National Congress will be fielding a candidate. However, we will be following the processes of the organization guided by our provincial executive committee as well as the national executive committee for us finally to then field a capable a candidate amongst the councillors of the African National Congress represented in council. We've got a young, vibrant councillors that we know that they've got the experience and the know-how on assisting us in addressing the challenges of Mokale City.
Are you confident that these challenges can be addressed in the very short time you've got between now and the local government elections?
I'm extremely confident, Pimelo. I've made an example of the intervention by the Premier of Gauteng in terms of the sewer challenges. Tomorrow morning, I'm having the meeting with the Minister of Water and Sanitation to address a number of issues that are related also to issues of water challenges in Gauteng in particular. So we are confident that through the support of the African National Congress at the provincial level and at national level, Mokale City will be able to address their service delivery challenges.
So you know that Mokale City's residents listened to the show. There was a protest even earlier on today. You know, as the ANC, who, as you said, is likely to put forward a candidate, we can all expect that the mayor will be an ANC candidate. What do you have to say to the residents who are finding that this person that has just resigned in the first place was someone who was sponsored by you, and now we are here again, and now he's just left? And I take your point about him resigning on his own accord. That's fine. But the instability and the lack of service delivery, what do you have to say to the residents who are listening in Mokale City right now?
Kemalo, we want to guarantee the people of Mokale City that there will be a huge improvement in terms of service delivery. And by the way, Pimelo, just to correct you on that part, we did not sponsor the former executive mayor. Coalition partners within the coalition principles would have agreed that the candidate at that time is the perfect candidate to lead Mokale City. And hence, I'm saying that after we have considered his resignation, we've made it very clear to our coalition partners that we are going to field an ANC councillor to occupy the position of the executive mayor. And we truly want to guarantee the people of Mokale City and the people of the West Rand in general that they will see a huge difference in terms of accelerating service delivery towards 2026 and beyond.
We can also say, if you had not backed him, he wouldn't have been the mayor.
Yes, like I've indicated, it was a coalition discussion, and the coalition partners would have agreed at the time that the former executive mayor is a perfect candidate.
All right. Are you going to tell us who your candidate is going to be?
Just wait until next week. We'll announce then.
Okay. But it will be, you can confirm that you'll be fielding an ANC councillor.
Most definitely.
All right.
You'll be fielding an ANC candidate.
We look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you very much for your time. William Motseke. Motseke is an ANC West Rand Regional Chairperson, giving us an update on what is happening in Mokale City. So yeah, the residents of Mokale City no longer have a mayor as of today. The former mayor has resigned, and the ANC is very clear and is saying they did not ask him to resign. He stated his case and they accepted it. There was a motion of no confidence that was looming. Had it gone through, they're saying they would have defended him. What do you make of that? 086-00-00959. The WhatsApp note is on 063-688-0959. I sigh because can you see how, you know, on the one hand, the coalition partners are saying that they would have defended the mayor, the very same mayor who openly said, I don't think I can do this anymore. There was a motion of no confidence that was looming. The ANC says, no, they would have defended him. And yet the ANC is still saying, well, yeah, there are other challenges and maybe it's better, you know, we accept his resignation. We will field our own candidate. And they are denying that they sponsored him as a mayor in the first place. And I'm saying, well, if they hadn't, he wouldn't have been the mayor. So you make up your own mind. I'd love to hear your take on this one. 086-00-00959. Here's the concern. Either way, there is a concern about what is going to happen in Mokale City, like all the other metros. Is this change going to be effective in delivering service delivery to the people of Mokale City? You are a resident there. If you're a resident and you're listening, let me know how you feel about this change. 086-00-00959. So the JMPD is monitoring a service delivery protest at the moment around Westbury and West Dean area. And the residents there are unhappy about a few things, one of which is the issue of water. Ronald Jones is a Westbury resident. Good evening and welcome. And thank you so much for making time for us this evening.
Very good. Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I just want us to get a sense of what is currently happening right now in Westbury.
First of all, I want to say that the situation has calmed down quite a lot.
Okay.
People came out in their numbers this morning from 5 o'clock, very frustrated regarding the service of the water from JMPD as well as from Joburg Water. And as well as the presence of Coronation has been just, I think they just had set up enough is enough with the current water situation.
What is your current water situation, Ronald?
Sure, I don't think you want to know. First of all, we have to wake up 1 o'clock in the mornings to take a bath. It's like we're living like welders. The water gets switched off 4 o'clock again before we have to go to work. Kids have to go to school.
Ronald, let me just ask you, if you don't mind. I think something's happening. You keep dipping in and out. Maybe you are moving. Where you are right now, I think, is best.
The signal bed.
Yes.
It's are
you?
Better.
Yes, it is much better. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Sorry, man. Yes.
Go ahead.
So as I said, sorry for the interruption there.
Sure.
We had to wake up early in the morning between 1 and 2 o'clock. There's only time when the water actually goes on. They switch back off the water at 4 o'clock. I mean, the kids have to get done for school. There's no water. We have to go to work. There's no water. I'm just actually worried more about the elderly people that are in old age homes that actually have to get up in the morning so early to carry buckets, to fill buckets, to get water. I think that is totally unacceptable. It's our human rights to have water, and also the way the condition of people are living, unacceptable.
And what's the explanation from the city? I can tell you now, we've been trying to get hold of them. It's quite tricky to get the right person to talk to us, but we'll keep trying. What explanation have you received from the city about your situation with the water?
Exactly. First of all, we can't get hold of our councillor, which is Genevieve Sherman. First of all, we tried to send the messages. We actually tried to send out a memorandum to her. She doesn't respond. She doesn't come back to us with some solutions. And also, we've been in the streets this morning, non-visibility from our mayor, sorry to say that, non-visibility from our council as well. There's no feedback, and it's very frustrating. So we're actually fighting this battle on our own.
Do you have a sense, even though they're not telling you what's wrong, why you have a water problem and a water shortage?
First of all, they said that the reservoir is affecting, they're restoring the reservoir, which is in Hurstville. They've been there today to go out to do a site visit. There's no water in the reservoir. So we want to know where the water is actually coming from. After our protest this morning, you won't believe it. Suddenly we had water. So there is something that's been hiding away. I don't know if we are puppets, but so there is something behind all this.
Are you saying you now have water since you've protested?
Since we protested, suddenly we got water. So I don't know. One and one makes, I don't know what's happening here.
Wow. Thank you so much, Ronald, for talking to us this evening. Kayleen Henry is also a resident in Westbury. Kayleen, thanks for talking to us as well. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening and thank you for having me on your show.
You just maybe give us your sense of what's wrong with the water situation in your area.
Well, this has been going on for more than 5 years, okay? When I go back on my history on Facebook, memories come up from as far back as 5 years ago where I've been complaining to Joburg Water about the water situation. The situation has definitely gotten worse over the past year. Since March in particular, we have been sitting without water in our taps. It is expected of people to be collecting water from boreholes. Trucks are hardly dispensed to the area. And when you do see a truck and you ask them to stop so that you can collect water, they tell you you need to go to the collection point. Now, please, you know, we've got aged people. I myself, I'm not the healthiest of people. I cannot be carrying 25 liters of water from the shop up to my house. you know, up and down how many times just to get some water in the house.
And just how, you said it's been a few years now?
5 years. 5 years that this has been going on. We've been, I personally have been in contact with political parties, with MNCs, with councillors that I've passed on. I've been in contact with other news houses as well over the past 5 years. I've done interviews on the TV, in front of schools, in front of feeding schemes, in front of creches. I've had them in my house to demonstrate how the taps are empty. But nothing has been done. MNCs claim that they have no knowledge of this.
They say they don't know about this.
They say that they have no knowledge of this. Now, please tell me, how is that possible when councillors are supposed to be answering to these people?
Have you...
Go ahead. Just as the previous gentleman said, as this protest, you know, just unfolded today, miraculously, there's water in our taps.
And was there anyone who spoke to you today? I mean, from the city of Johannesburg?
Nobody. They refused to speak to us. We demanded, the police came to speak to us, to ask us what we wanted. We said we want the councillor to speak to us. We want somebody from Johannesburg Water to speak to us. And nobody wanted to speak to us. Nobody came out. We stood there and waited, but we had no success in speaking to anybody.
And when did that water come back?
It came on this afternoon in the process of the day. We don't know how long that's going to last. Usually what happens is that we would get water from about 1 a.m. in the morning to about 5 a.m. in the morning. So my daily task is to sit up the whole day until the water goes on at that time in the morning, fill up bottles, and then do washing. And then only I can go to sleep. My health has been severely impacted. I've picked up a kidney disease.
Oh, my word.
I've even found out that I have a waterborne disease that's in my blood system. So this is what we are experiencing. And, you know, the financial burden that comes with it, having to buy water, having to fix toilets and taps and geysers that are not working. It's absolutely ridiculous because we are not, we're not considered middle class. We are of the poorer community side.
I just want you to touch a little bit on that waterborne disease. Is it from the water that gets delivered, do you think?
Well, I'm not going to put any blame, but where would I have picked up a waterborne disease unless it came from maybe one of the tankers or something like that? Because I definitely don't drink water from a dam or go and swim in a dam or anything like that where I could have picked it up from. So, you know, I'm stuck with this waterborne disease that's stuck in my bloodstream and will be in my bloodstream for the next 30 years.
Sure. Wow, Kayleen Henry is a Westbury resident. I really, really appreciate you talking to us. We're going to continue taking your calls. If you are in Westbury, if you are in West Dean, and you have your issues with this water, just tell me, what have you heard? What have they said to you? We're going to be speaking to DA Shadow MMC for the Environment and Infrastructure in the city of Johannesburg. At least Nicole van Dijk has agreed to talk to us. We'll be back with more of your calls on 086-000-00-959. Well, 28 minutes after 8. Thank you so much for staying with us. Nicole van Dijk is a DA Shadow MMC for Environment and Infrastructure in the city of Johannesburg. I really, really appreciate you talking to us, Councillor. Good evening and welcome.
Thanks, and thank you very much for having us.
Nicole, you know, I'm sure you were hearing those comments from the residents of West Dean and Westbury and just the dissatisfaction. Your sense of what is going on there, I know you've had an oversight visit. Tell me what you were able to, you know, to understand about what's actually going on there.
So let me say, this is the first oversight visit that this committee has done in quite some time, probably about the last 2 or 3 years. And what we were told by Joburg Water is there are two systems that feed there. It's Herstal 1 and Herstal 2.
Yes.
Both of them have tremendous leaking systems within them.
Okay.
So the first one, it's Herstal 1, that is leaking from the 5 meter line.
Mm.
So that's what they call, they've now put it on what they call bypass.
Mm.
So the system gets bypassed. Then you've got Herstal Reservoir, Herstal Reservoir 2.
Mm.
And that has a leak at around the 40 to 45 meter line. So you've only got that second reservoir feeding areas like Westbury, West Dean, Coronationville, Brixton. It feeds a multitude of areas. And when we asked today how much it is going to cost to fix it, they could only say for one of the reservoirs, which is the one that's at the 40 meter line, you're looking at about 20 to 30 million. So that was just for one of the reservoirs. And I've got to say that at least that they told us the other day on a meeting on Friday where Joburg Water met with multiple councillors to talk about the water issues that we're going to be facing over summer, that 42 of their systems are leaking. So it's a massive issue. Sorry.
But you know, and I mean, I really, really appreciate the fact that this is your first oversight visit and this is not something that, you know, you can change overnight. But how long? 42 of the systems are leaking. You've got a massive leak in the one reservoir and an issue there.
Mm.
How long has this been going on for?
It's been going on for several years. The one intervention that was made by the councillor of Ward 69, Genevieve Sherman, and a previous ward councillor, Bridget Steer, because they've been struggling with this issue not for the last 3 years. It's been basically since the start of their term, which was in 2016, and they managed to motivate for funding to come in to build an additional reservoir at Crosby Brixton with an additional tower, and that's going to alleviate some of the pressure.
Mm.
But it's not the beginning and end all, because that project's only going to be completed in 2 or 3 years. You've still got to deal with this current problem. And what they're doing right now, what Joburg Water is doing, it's the only thing that they can do that they've said to us, is they are now borrowing water from Northcliff Tower, diverting it through to Herstal to increase capacity to Herstal right now. So you're sitting with the system, which is to borrow from Peter to pay Paul.
And that's how
the entire water network is currently being run across Joburg.
And you know what? I in a way, I appreciate what you've just done here, because perhaps, you know, people are not that unreasonable. People understand when there is an explanation like you've just given us now. It doesn't make us happy, but at least we have a good sense of what is actually going on. We couldn't get hold of Genevieve. They don't know where Genevieve is. You know, so communication is a problem here. Why isn't the city talking? And this is your role. It's very different. But why isn't the city talking to residents about what's actually going on? So people understand, okay, we've got a year to wait. What's the plan then going forward? Just to communicate.
Well, the first thing is, Joe, one of the biggest fights that every councillor, and regardless of your political affiliation, I'm going to say this very openly now, every single ward councillor across the city has complained about the communications coming from Johannesburg Water.
Yep,
we don't get honest communications. Now, I can't say where Genevieve is. She's most likely dealing with the protests that are still going on in her ward, or she's trying to get water tankers. Herstal system services 6 wards. And they only start to get water tankers. Today's day 15 that this water outage is happening. They only managed to get water tankers last week, Friday, for the first time. That is what we deal with as councillors. We are not getting accurate communication from the entities, and it takes oversights like this that have to be organized by the chairperson of the Section 79, and that is not okay. It's something that we've raised with the mayor continuously. One of the things that I would really highlight residents to please go watch, there is a clip that several of our councillors have from 2 months ago, where specifically Councillor Genevieve Sherman, Councillor Nicolene Jonker, raised a motion in council around the water issues that are going around in Coronationville, and the MMC blatantly just refuted what was going on and said, why are you wasting time in council? You could have sent me a WhatsApp. This is the kind of thing that we're dealing with, and I think it has to be a real reality for residents on the ground to know that councillors are fighting, and all councillors, I mean that, every single ward councillor is genuinely fighting, and we're fighting against a system that doesn't feel like it wants to work with us.
So at the moment, I mean, it sounds like a very bleak picture that you're painting.
It is. I won't pretend it's not. I mean, the purpose of the meeting with Joburg Water on Friday, and we are thankful that they had this meeting, and we were very thankful of the communication that was finally coming out in that particular meeting, because there was a great degree of honesty that was coming through. And they said this is going to be an immensely difficult summer. They told us about all the systems that are leaking. They've mentioned the amount of funding that they need, which is a 33 billion rand backlog. That's the amount of money that they need to sort out their systems. They only got a billion rand for CapEx this year when they asked for a bare minimum of 3 billion. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this comes down to the fact that maintenance is not being done.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest part of the maintenance failures is the cutbacks on pipe replacements. Now, pipe replacements may sound like the most menial thing, but when you consider that Joburg Water is purchasing water from Rand Water, and before it even gets to the client, gets to the residents' taps, we've already lost 46% of that water. So that's money that that's money that the city's used to purchase the water that we aren't going to get the revenue back from. And then Joburg Water is left again without fixing these kinds of reservoirs. And I'm sorry, Pamela, I know I'm carrying on, but
it's important to hear this.
Joburg Water drafted a turnaround strategy, something we've been asking for quite some time. They presented it in council 2 months ago. We've passed it in council. It was probably one of the few items that was passed unanimously across all organizations. And it was just, but what they highlight in the turnaround strategy, it is damning what they're saying about their boards, how the boards are politically appointed, how there's interference happening there, how they're not getting budgets, and the budget is being reallocated to other things. I mean, it's an 83 billion rand budget that the city works with.
Mm.
And the entities are not getting enough of that. And a lot of that comes down to the fact that a lot of our boards and our executive officers, a lot of them can be, they're too top heavy. So those there has to be cutbacks made somewhere. And I never want someone to be unemployed.
Mm.
But, you know, when you're hearing rumors that there's 100 people working in the mayor's office, we don't know what they're earning. And then you could rather be allocating whatever money you have to water, power, sewer, and roads. That's the only place money has to go at this point.
I mean, it's quite a stressful situation here, because I then want to ask you an unfair question. And I see that there are councillors who are rallying behind, you know, making things better. But we now have a new mayor and new MMC and so on. Is there good cooperation amongst yourselves now?
No, I mean, so look, the Democratic Alliance for the longest time, for at least the last year or so, we've been calling for the dissolution of council, because there are 19 political parties within the chamber, and you've got smaller parties using that opportunity to make themselves kingmakers. And a very good example is the current administration, because previously we had Cabello Gramanda.
Mm-hmm.
We've had multiple water issues across the city. One of them actually occurred in my ward in March. Where my residents were left without water for 15 days. Got a lot of media attention, and after that, there was this discussion with Rand Water, and they were looking at disaster management strategy and bringing in National Treasury, and all these great promises were made. But it hasn't materialized into anything yet. And at the time, when the budget was drafted in May or June of this year, Dada Marrero was the MMC of Finance. So that's technically your right hand to the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you've just swapped the two positions around. But it makes no change. We are doing whatever. I mean, we would happily work with anyone if it means bettering the city. But you've got to work with us. And unfortunately, when you've got MMCs and mayors standing up in council and blaming residents for the amount of water that's being lost, and blaming councillors for using a council chamber, which is where we work, rather than a WhatsApp group, it becomes a little bit difficult.
Sure. Nicole van Dyk, I really, really appreciate you talking to us and giving us just a really nice background to all of this. DA Sheda, MMC for Environment, Infrastructure and Services in the city of Johannesburg. Luke, you've been very patient. You're calling from Kagiso. Good evening.
Evening. Am I live?
Yes, you're live. Go ahead, Luke.
No, thank you very much. I think my name is Luke. I'm from Kagiso, but however, I wanted to address something that is pertaining the water.
Yes,
sir. That is happening within. I would say Gauteng in particular.
Yeah.
There's been an intervention that happened throughout the provincial government led by Premier Panyaka Lesufi.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue of water loss that has been happening within our respective areas is not just a matter of rainwater or Joburg water. I could say the Ikenok reservoir also supplies water within the area of Makhali City, which is a municipality that's away from the city of Johannesburg, and it also affects us.
Yes.
However, the resolution that came out of the summit that went through that was convened by the premier and the officials from the was that the municipality should start by fixing their water leakages. However, you know that the reservoirs that you are within are being deteriorated and depleted. Therefore, they need to be fixed because you are dealing with the infrastructure that you've been there for a while. However, for us to fix the issue of the water leakage or the water logs that are happening in the respective areas, it need to be addressed within the municipal level and then be addressed however way that the remote could intervene. But lastly, what one wants to reiterate on was the issue that was said in terms of pertaining the issue of Makhali City. I don't know if I'll be out of the conversation.
Go ahead.
Because I've been in the line.
Yeah.
However, I believe the issue that was shared by the chair of the region is that the issue that's been pertaining within Makhali City itself, that services have been actually been out of those who are within the majority of the city. However, the intervention that needs to come in has to assist, and it won't be only biased in terms of the GLU, but it will be the services that will be there to actually assist and benefit the city of Makhali City in particular.
Do you work for Makhali City?
No, I don't work for Makhali City. I'm just a resident of Makhali City.
Okay. And so just maybe quickly tell me what your thoughts then are on the changes that are happening in council.
Well, the changes that are happening on council, I think they are actually going to be beneficial for the people of Makhali City in particular. However, what might happen, but I believe those who get led prior to that administration that is going to cascade however way, but it's going to be beneficial of the people of Makhali City, who are the people that are majority in particular, the black people in majority.
How is that change going to happen?
No, the change is precisely, remember, the municipality has forever been in a verge whereby it has been working in favor of our black people, but when certain administration were leaving the city, things were deteriorating within our respective areas in terms of service delivery. So we have a confidence whereby whatever that was presented today, it's something that will be in favor of our people, and it's something that is going to be in favor of the constituency that elected the people of Makhali City with majority.
Appreciate your calling, and thanks so much again, Luke, for your patience. Luke is calling from Kagiso. We were speaking earlier about the changes that are happening in Makhali City. So thank you so much for that, and we'll be back with more after this.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.